On this episode of Binged, Beckett. While vacationing in Greece, American tourist Beckett, John David Washington, becomes the target of a manhunt after a devastating accident. Forced to run for his life and desperate to get across the country to the American embassy to clear his name, tensions escalate as the authorities close in. Political unrest mounts, and Beckett falls even deeper into a dangerous web of conspiracy.
So this movie, personally, I'm going to give it a burnt rating. It didn't do much for me. I think there were some good aspects. The acting was good. John David Washington, he did great. Alicia Vikander in her small part, she did good too. You know, there wasn't anything like glaringly bad about the movie, but I think it just sort of fell flat on all aspects. The story really didn't go anywhere, and it didn't keep me interested. There was no tension. It wasn't great for me. What did you guys think?
It didn't get me interested. Never mind. It didn't keep me interested right from the hop. So John David Washington, first, you guys might laugh. When I first saw his face, I thought it was Childish Gambino. I was like, what the hell? Look at this guy. And then I realized that it was John David Washington and that he like played Jarvis Landry in Ballers. And this was just a total different character than I was ready to see him as. And Eric, you think he did a good job? Like, maybe I should rephrase this. I think he did an okay job, but maybe the writing wasn't well supported for him.
The acting didn't like take me out of the movie, where sometimes like an actor in a movie is so bad, it's like, it can't even watch it. You know, I thought it was like watchable, but I think it was the material he was given, because I think he's a pretty good actor, you know, overall, but maybe I think something went wrong, either the writing or I don't know. What do you think, Big?
Yeah, see, to interject my opinion, I think this is more of a kernel on our rating. Just because I don't think that individually there were any like bad performances. I thought that the main character, he could have been a little more believable in that role. Like, in my opinion, we'll go into it as we break down the plot, but just some of the stunts that he was able to pull off when really he was a software salesman, it just seemed pretty unbelievable to me. And other than that, I think like it wasn't necessarily a problem with the writing. It wasn't a problem with the acting. It was just flat. And that's why I'm putting it right there in the middle. It was just a flat line.
Me, I'm also going to give it a burnt. And I'm going to give it a burnt kind of, I think a lot of it's going to fall on his acting. There were times that I found myself laughing at him like stumbling through the water and bumbling over these hills that he's rolling through. It was just laughable, the fact that he's like, no spoilers, but he's been dinged up pretty bad by his enemies and he's just hobbling along and continuing on this trek. Totally unbelievable. That's why it's getting a burnt. Spoilers ahead. Stop now and watch this episode's featured Netflix original.
Beckett begins where we're introduced to Beckett and his girlfriend, whose name is April, who are Americans that are vacationing in Greece. So the first couple scenes, we see them conversing in bed, visiting some ancient ruins on a cliffside in Greece, and at breakfast, where on the TV, we see news coverage of a protest, which are taking place in Athens. And the protests are taking place right outside the hotel where they were previously staying, and they had to leave their hotel to go to the countryside because of the riots. So it's setting us up that these riots or protests have some sort of significance to the story. So from these scenes, we get some character building, and there's some vaguely cryptic dialogue between the two of them that kind of had me thinking, you know, my mind was racing trying to figure out what was going on, what was being foreshadowed. What were your guys' thoughts at the beginning of the movie, these first couple scenes?
So the beginning of the movie to me was so boring that when we found out after the fact that Greg had fallen asleep after the beginning part of the movie, that might have been the most believable part of this entire thing. We get no real introduction to who these people are, other than the fact that they're a couple, they're in Greece, and they left Athens because of some political unrest.
I didn't even know that until Eric just said it. That's how poor it was drawn out.
Right. It literally was like mentioned on a news feed on a TV in the breakfast or bar they were at. And they just were so dry from the beginning. I didn't feel for either of the characters right off the bat. And I don't know why. I think it was intentional to just like start it out slow like that. And we didn't learn anything.
Yeah, and Eric, you said one thing in there. Like, I was doing the same thing as we're watching this. I'm holding on every word in their conversation, trying to figure out what's happening. And April at one point says, I think we should find one. And I was like, oh, this seems really important. Find what? An oracle. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What did that mean? Did that have any meaning?
I think it was just an offhand remark.
What the hell was that then?
That, I was doing the same thing, Greg, where at this point in the movie, we're already a couple minutes in, and I don't know what I'm watching. Because the little blurb on Netflix said that it was a adventure thriller, I think, where a guy gets caught up in political conflict while on vacation. And thus far through the introduction, we don't barely know anything about this political conflict. Nothing has happened. I'm like, thriller is all of a sudden someone going to get murdered and like there's going to be a killer on the loose. I had no idea where it was going.
Right, I think we're all kind of touching on the same thing. There's some sort of disconnect between where they're trying to bring the story and where the viewer is. It's the whole political unrest thing, how that connected to the two main characters, it didn't really make sense. So the next scene is the car crash scene where Beckett and April are driving to another hotel. She falls asleep while Beckett is driving, and then Beckett eventually falls asleep as well. He drives off the road, which was the least anticlimactic or least tense car crash scene of all time, in my opinion. It was so predictable that I knew it was going to happen 5 minutes before it happened. What do you guys think?
Right. Even before he fell asleep, like when they were in the car and it was dark, it clearly was going to be like, oh, someone's going to fall asleep driving this car. The guy was already like nodding off before she had even gone to sleep. And I was like, well, this is going to end poorly.
And at one point, you can hear like a seatbelt click, and it's her seatbelt. And so I knew she was going to die too. It was all very predictable. And I think there was a lot of like different ways that could have made that scene more exciting. And it just kind of gave me an idea of like where this movie's going. That's part of like the writing problem or the film, some sort of directorial problem where there was no excitement through the whole movie.
On the other hand, this is the first time in the movie that I was grabbed a little bit. Once the car crash happened, and we'll get into it as we explain more of the plot, that was like the thing that I needed. I needed that earlier, I think, but I was glad that we finally got to it because it was like the first step in the journey.
At least something happened.
Yeah.
Our next scene is where Beckett wakes up in the hospital and he's told that April is in another facility or he's told that she's died. I was kind of unclear on that.
Well, that's another thing that was odd about this movie. When they had people speaking Greek, they didn't have subtitles. So you really just had to kind of guess at what was going on in like 90% of the conversations, because if it wasn't a conversation with the character, then we didn't know what was going on.
I know, I think that could be, you know, I've seen that done in some movies where it's done to like good effect, kind of leaves the viewer in the dark in kind of a way that and puts you in the place of the character in the film, not being able to understand the language. But you don't think it worked in this movie?
I just think in this specific instance where he's in the hospital, and like at this point, it kind of showed her on the ground when they had gotten in into the crash. But then it cuts away and we don't see like the transfer to the police station or the hospital or wherever they were. But at this point I was confused, like not one person there spoke English to be able to like communicate with them effectively.
Well, a couple of people did, and I guess I'll push back a little bit. I agree with what Eric said. I think no subtitles is to sort of put you in the mindset of the character where he's in a foreign country and doesn't know what's going on. And then when you do get the translator, because he's speaking with the cop later on in the scene that Eric's talking about, and there's a woman who's translating. And that was one time where I thought, okay, maybe there's stuff either getting lost in translation here or the cop is just trying to relay misinformation to him and being really vague about what happened with April.
Right after the hospital scene, he's questioned by police about the accident, and he reveals that he saw a red-headed boy and a woman inside the house that he crashed into. And this, the police kind of perked up at this information. Any thoughts?
So the reaction to that of him seeing the boy and the lady in the house is kind of what caught my attention, because he just like, he looked at him shocked and then was like, oh, there hasn't been anyone there for tens of years and it must just be like immigrants hiding. But his reaction clearly was like, oh, he knew something that we didn't know.
So our next scene is where Beckett is retracing the steps of the accident. He walks up to the home that he crashed into. He sits down next to April's pool of blood. And I think he was considering like killing himself by taking a bottle of Ambien. That's what it seemed like to me.
Actually, Eric, I think we probably should go back, because have we even mentioned that she died yet?
Yeah, we did say that.
Okay.
I said like I wasn't sure if she was dead or not. But we did kind of say that, right?
I don't know, but at this point, we definitely know that she had died, because he tried to call.
He did call the father, and
yeah.
But he had the same information we had when he called. That was like a plot hole.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Yeah.
So that's why hell? I was confused.
No, he knew that she was dead, and then he lied to the father on the phone saying like he doesn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that point, they were like, well, we have to transfer her. And he was like, can I see her? And they were like, no, not yet.
But I skipped over the dad call because it really had no significance on the story at all. Like, it never comes,
no,
it never shows up again.
It didn't. But I was just saying, I don't know if we made the point that she had been dead yet.
I think we did. All right. So right before he takes the bottle to kill himself, he gets shot up by somebody. It seems like it was cops shooting at him. And then this kind of begins the chase that'll continue throughout the whole movie. And so he escapes into the mountains, and he ends up taking shelter in this abandoned truck. Thoughts on those couple scenes?
Yeah, this is where my what the hell thoughts started to really set in. There were like, at this point, we had a good bit of a story. Like we just mentioned, I thought, okay, maybe the father's coming over, and we're going to get like some family ties and get some plot moving here. But not at all. We get another complete, in the literal sense, shot out of nowhere. And we have no reason what it's all about. So I was... This is like when I started to chuckle. I was like, what is going on here? Now he's just getting shot at? And maybe that was by design. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, see, I think this was the best part of the movie, to be honest, because this was finally when we see a woman show up and we're not quite sure what she is yet. And then he runs away from her and he's hiding in the bushes. And then we see the police officer that he had been discussing with earlier, and he tries to lure him out of the bushes saying, oh, everything's fine. So he comes out with his hands up, hesitating, like, what the hell is going on here? But he sees a familiar face, so he's like, all right, this must be all right, it was a misunderstanding. And then the lady takes a shot at him, and I think he hits him, or she hits him in the arm, in which case he realizes, okay, I'm fucked here, and then he takes off through the woods. So I thought this was like the peak of the movie, because now we started to realize, okay, there's something else going on here that we need to find out about, because this wasn't just like someone thought he was a trespasser. They were coming after him.
Right. I think, you know, in that initial moment where like the ambiguity between, you know, why he's getting shot at and kind of all these things, when that initially started, it was good. It gave a little tension to the movie, but as this chase continued on and we still didn't know after, you know, he makes his way to Greece or whatever, Athens. It started to get like, what are we even watching this movie for? What's going on?
Yeah, that was my thing. Not to take your spot, Eric, but progressing the plot through the point where he runs away from the cops in the house where the accident was, to he hides in a truck after he like jumps down a massive cliff. Which, once again, we don't know this guy's background yet. We don't know what he was, what he does, but from all appearances so far, he's just a normal American going on a tourism trip.
And then suddenly he's a Navy SEAL.
Yeah. Right. Except that was my initial thing when we started talking about John David Washington. It's like, I don't think he did those scenes very well. Like, if this was Matt Damon, I would be like, oh, this is kind of believable for some reason. I just think there were points where he was fumbling through the woods. And like, when the cop first shoots at him, they could clearly see him through this tiny little brush. How am I supposed to believe that he got away from two people with guns from that scene?
Exactly. And it's funny that you say Matt Damon because it's like if you have a guy like Matt Damon though, then it's like some sort of Bourne ripoff. But it was trying to go in another direction, but then the next like third of the movie is him like developing into a action hero. And that came out of nowhere to me. And that's what aggravated me about the entire movie was his development into a normal guy, into a full-on like literally action hero, Bourne, Die Hard, all those great action films. He all of a sudden turns into them out of nowhere.
All right, so the escape from the officers begins again in the morning. He goes through some, he keeps running away from them. He ultimately meets up with the two women who are putting up posters of a lost boy, who John David Washington recognizes as the redheaded boy that he saw in the house after the car crash. And so these two women inform him that the boy is the kidnapped son of a famous politician, and that the group targeting the politician and that kidnapped the little boy is called the Sunrise Group. And the protest that we saw at the beginning of the movie that around the TV and made them change hotels and whatever, those protests are because of this kidnapping.
Yeah, so this part where the original escape from the cops, he bumps into a couple different like small village northern Greece mountain people that kind of help him out along the way, which I thought was kind of genuine. Like these guys see this stranger muddling through the woods, and it just goes to show you what the actual like climate is in Greece right now, where there's a ton of political unrest still, and that's a whole other mess. But these guys help out this, what they seem as, or what they see him as an innocent guy who has lost his way and is trying to get home. So he bumps into these girls in a city that he was on his way to Athens, and he bumps into these girls. And here we start to learn very generic, minute details about the political conflict that ultimately has been the overarching theme of this whole movie. And we still don't find out basically any details. It's just that it's one side against another.
Yeah, and my big gripe with that whole thing is from when the first shot is fired at the house where the car crash was until he finds the two women in Athens, that's 50 minutes of movie. What the freaking hell? 50 minutes! It's an hour and 50 long minute movie, and there's 50 minutes that nothing happened.
Right. It was running from woods to other woods to finding beekeepers who sent him across a river to get on a train, and then it's a train, and then the train is where he bumps into one of the police officers who was chasing after him, and they have a scuffle on the train because he tries to get away, and he ends up firing the police officer's gun, and it shoots him in the foot. This is a little bit of a turning point in the movie because now he's not just like a guy running away from cops. Now he's a guy who shot a cop, so the police can kind of use this in their favor to kind of put out a wanted signal for him. And that's why when he meets up with these girls who start explaining things to him quickly, he ends up getting smuggled away. What'd they throw him in the trunk?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was just wanted to point out that the reason why these girls helped him is because he said that he saw this kid. So that got the wheels turning for them to try to help this guy who they are seeing police coming after him and really didn't need to help him at all. But he had a lead on the child that was missing, who was obviously the lead of the whole story.
Yep, so those two women, they help him get to Athens. And the officers in the city are still on the lookout for him. He's like a wanted man at this point. There's checkpoints at the entrances to the city. And so he's trying to make his way to the US Embassy. And before he can do that, he gets stabbed in the train station, presumably by somebody who's affiliated with the officers or a part of the Sunrise Group conspiracy.
Horrible scene. That is one scene that this is just like a crappy action movie. It's such a fatigued, overtired, like the guy probably hasn't slept in days at this point, fight, and it just shows.
But
It's
it's like you said, Greg, it's just like overplayed. Like he's in a subway station, he has to get up to the street. So where does he get attacked? In a stairway where no one else is. Like it's just generic. You could see it coming from a mile away. It showed the guy talking on the phone. It clearly was pointing it at the fact that he was sketchy. And then obviously it leads to them getting in the fight where he gets stabbed, but still somehow wins the fight.
So yeah, he ultimately he gets help to the U.S. Embassy by some passengers that are at the train station. And so our next scene will take place at the embassy where Beckett talks to this American who works there. And they talk about some nonsense, but the American ultimately convinces Beckett to go to the local police station to talk to a local cop that he says is a good cop and to tell his story.
So this scene where he's talking to the embassy worker was like, it should have been the clarity of the whole movie, but it really just caused more confusion because he starts explaining the political conflict where there's a leftist group that's trying to overtake the strong right presence in Greece. But he says the leader of the group, whose nephew was kidnapped, was also tied into like the criminal underworld of the entire city. So he was really the bad guy, even though he was posing as the good guy. And the United States wanted that guy not to win, so that they could have peace in the city that they were trying to control. And that's,
but at this point, I don't think he says any of that. The guy, Steven at the embassy.
No, he kind of lays it out because he's like, oh, these damn leftists are trying to get into the way and blah, blah, blah. Like, he clearly had a political agenda of his own.
Right. So it turns out the American guy, he's, who knows whose side he's on, but he's out to get Beckett as well. But obviously Beckett escapes again. And he blends into the rally, the Carus rally that was planned that the movie's been talking about the whole time. And so he keeps running away, ultimately ends up in the basement of a mall where he meets the American guy again.
Yeah, and there's one more unbelievable fight that happens in that scene too. It's when they're driving, remember this part? And the guy Steven says, sorry, Beckett, but I had to do this or something like that. Goes to tase him, and of course he misses him. And then Beckett whips the taser back out on him, and Beckett's on top and on the run again.
And right, this was the most frustrating sequence of the entire movie because we, the viewer, get the sense that the U.S. embassy worker is going to turn Beckett in, because otherwise, why wouldn't he just send him home? If there was no other use for him, send him home. You got him home safely, and there you go. It's over. The story's over. And at this point, there's still almost an hour left in the movie, so you're like, oh, it's not going to be that easy. And the guy drives down sketchy roads and goes to take out a taser, and that's when he's like, oh, sorry. So clearly, he's going to try to turn him over to the people that have been after him the entire time. And that's when he has another unbelievable action hero fight where he gets away from a U.S. embassy worker with a taser, somehow doesn't get him. Then, well, I just wanted to say, before he ends up in the basement of the mall, Eric, we kind of hear a gunshot up at the rally, and we, the viewers, see this go on, but Beckett doesn't because he's just mixed in with the crowd, but it shows flashes of the coalition group that was out to get him, and it was like the main woman from the beginning and this guy who stabbed him, and it seemed like they were going out to try to pull off this assassination attempt that we heard murmurs of throughout the movie, but we don't know anything that was going on that side. So that happens, and that creates kind of chaos, and that's when Beckett kind of sees his chance to get away.
Right. So I think that whole situation with the U.S. embassy was nonsense. Like, it doesn't really make sense why they wouldn't just send him back to the U.S. and protect their citizen. It didn't make sense. But the one thing I'll say, it gave me that feeling of like trapped in like a foreign country, or like there's no way out, you know, even like your own country won't help you. So I kind of got like that's like an uncomfortable feeling that the movie successfully gave to me. But like you said, Big, the gunshot, we learned that Karas, the guy who the protests are all about, was shot and killed. And so riots are erupting in the street. And so conveniently, Beckett escapes again, and he chases down the two cops from the beginning of the movie that were chasing him the whole movie, and kind of like his last ditch of energy, beats him down on the top of a on the top of like a car park.
So when he was in the cellar of the basement is when the U.S. embassy guy caught up to him, and he's about to shoot him and kill him. and he gets a phone call right at the last moment.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a great, yeah. So that helps him get away too. It was a great time for a phone call.
But right, he gets the phone call and then he's like, "Oh no, everything's fine. The guy got taken out already, so we can get you home safely." Now, at this point, there's no way that Beckett trusts this guy anymore. So that's when he threatens him and takes him out, which leads him to get away. And conveniently, as he's leaving the cellar of the shopping mall, that's when he sees the female cop on the getaway at this point from her assassination. And then he follows her to the parking garage.
Right. So at the parking garage, he beats down the male cop. He beats down one of the cops and then he jumps off the car park and lands on the car as it's getting away.
At this point, he's been shot three times! And he jumps off the third floor of the parking garage!
He just has a near-death brawl up on the top of this parking garage. Then he looks around and it's like the moment in The Other Guys. He's like, oh, well, aim for the bushes. And four stories, he lands on top of the car.
And he timed it right, though, you know?
Right, timed it perfectly.
And then it's revealed that in the trunk of the car is the redheaded boy. Beckett saved the day.
So bad. So bad.
After all of the grief we had to go through throughout to make it through this movie, the ending could not have been more unsatisfactory as well. Like, it just ends with him staring off into the distance and, oh, he looks at a heart that the girl drew on his hand in the first scene of the movie. And that was like the big, like, oh, he did that. He tried to save this kid's life because he killed his girlfriend. Which, to bring it all back around, that's the worst part about this entire movie. Is the entire time I couldn't stand behind this guy because he fell asleep at the wheel, caused his girlfriend to die.
Let me ask you a question about that. So he takes Ambien, it looks like. Do you think he fell asleep because he was taking the Ambien? So it really, like, it certainly was his fault?
No, it was hers.
That was hers, okay.
It was hers. It was in her bag that they gave her, like, at the police station. It was like, here's
yeah, but he doesn't take the Ambien until later when he's trying to kill himself, right?
No, but I was saying maybe he took one and that's why he fell asleep.
Oh, that's a great call. Take some Ambien for a
long time. No. I think he just was irresponsible and fell asleep at the wheel. I mean, if I'm in that situation, and I'm driving the car, and someone dies, that's it. I'm out. I don't need to get to the place where it is. I'm taking that bottle. I'm jumping off a bridge. It's Greece. We see these great scenic views everywhere of all of these giant bridges going down to massive valleys. I'm out. I am off that bridge in a second.
You know, I think the fact that we're talking about the car crash, you know, at the end of the movie after we've already, you know, gone through it, we're still talking about that scene, is because the whole connection to the political unrest situation in Greece didn't work. It didn't make sense. It didn't connect to the characters. It was kind of superfluous. And why Beckett was like how there's no reason for him to like be invested in that like whole situation at the end, sort of. It didn't make sense.
It's terrible. It's lazy. I wrote down one line that I went back and I watched and I wrote down again. This is from Steven, the embassy worker. He says, "Karis's family's got a ton of shipping money. He wanted more and got involved with crooks and he owes them. They want their money back. The rest is classified." The rest is classified. The rest is like the whole point of why Beckett is being chased. And the writers didn't do any work to explain any of that throughout the whole movie. The rest is like, they could have dove so much deeper into the rest, and that would have made the movie interesting, and like then maybe I would have followed the 50 minutes of boringness.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest flaw of the entire thing, and I think it was a specific choice by the movie to not introduce the viewers to the actual political conflict, where it's a movie about political conflict that this guy gets wrapped up in. And as a viewer, you're disconnected because you don't know anything about it. And I think if there was a little more backstory of what was actually going on, why there was conflict in the country, and even show us more about the other side who's going after him. Like, all we see is bad guys going after him. We don't know what their motive is. We don't truly know why the conflict is even there. And that's the biggest thing. And Greg, I'm glad you brought up that point about the rest being classified, because that solves everything right there. Is if they lay out what is going on, and he could have explained to the embassy worker, oh, so the bad people are after me, but instead the embassy worker doesn't tell him anything and keeps leading him down the trail because it's for the embassy worker's own gain to take this guy out because he thinks that he's going to screw everything up. And if this all sounds confusing, it's because it is, because they don't lay it out.
On the next episode of Binged, Kate